In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, ancient nations, Jews and Gentiles alike, believed that mankind had fallen from an original state of innocence and would eventually be restored by a Redeemer. The belief and expectation of the Jews was based on divine revelation and prophecy. When God drove Adam and Eve from paradise, he promised to send to the world a Redeemer to overcome the power of Satan, free mankind from their sins, and reopen the gates of heaven. The prophets proclaimed the coming of the Messiah centuries before his birth. The Redeemer was to be born in Bethlehem, which is from the prophet Micah, when the Jews had lost their freedom, which is in Genesis chapter 49. The prophet Isaiah foretold the Redeemer of the world was to be born of a virgin from the house of David, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. The prophecy of Isaiah clearly indicates that a precursor, St. John the Baptist, would preach in the desert and prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. From chapter 40, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert the path of our God. According to the Old Testament prophecies, the birth of the Redeemer would be announced by a new star. It was also foretold that kings from distant lands would bear gifts and adore the newborn Savior. From Numbers chapter 24, a star shall rise out of Jacob, and a scepter shall spring up from Israel. And then Psalm 7, the kings of Tarsus and the islands shall offer presents. The kings of the Arabians and of Saba shall bring gifts. Of the purpose and of the Messiah, the prophet spoke. He was to be the Son of God. He would work great miracles and teach the people. He would be a king of a new kingdom, which was not to be destroyed and was to include all nations. Of his sufferings, the prophet spoke. He was to enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. He'd be betrayed by one who ate at the same table with him. He'd be abandoned, mocked, beaten, spat upon, scourged, crowned with thorns, and given gall and vinegar to drink. Lots would be cast for his garments. His hands and feet would be pierced by nails. He would die between two thieves. And it's interesting, in Psalm 21, verse 17, King David foretold the Redeemer would be crucified. They have pierced my hands and my feet. This was written about 300 years before crucifixion was used for execution. All these and many other prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is the Redeemer, the Savior that God in His mercy had promised. Christ fulfilled at least 4 dozen prophecies, made a minimum of 3 centuries before his birth. And then one of them that we're probably familiar with, he was wounded for our iniquities, he was bruised for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's from the prophet Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. And then one day someone who was working for the DMV asked his co-workers just individually what this verse meant. Who was it referring to? And he was talking to atheists, agnostics, Protestants, people of most of the main world's religions. And unanimously they said, this prophecy refers to Jesus. These ancient prophecies were like fingerprints that only Jesus Christ could match. It was determined by Dr. Peter Stoner, a college professor of mathematics and science, that the odds for fulfilling these messianic prophecies was astronomical. It was 1 in a trillion. It's mathematically nearly impossible. Our Lord did not proclaim his divinity at the beginning of his public ministry. Obviously, no one would have accepted his claims without external proof such as miracles and prophecies. In addition, his delay in declaring his divinity hindered his enemies from hampering the establishment of his church. In the course of his three-year ministry, Christ gradually manifested to the world that he is truly the Son of God. Our Redeemer clearly professed his divine nature when he said, "Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." Christ himself said that he is God on numerous occasions. "I and the Father are one." He's the only person to say, "Which of you shall convict me of sin?" And the high priest said to him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "Thou hast said it. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming upon the clouds of heaven." My dearly beloved in Christ, our Redeemer worked many miracles in his own name and by his own power, not as his followers did, who performed them in the name of God. The Gospels mention many works of Christ which are unquestionably true miracles. He changed water into wine by the mere act of his will. He fed thousands with a few loaves and fishes. He walked upon the water as upon dry land. He stilled the surging sea with the word. He healed the sick instantaneously. He gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. He expelled evil spirits from the afflicted. He raised the dead to life. The miracles of Christ cannot be questioned on the score of their historical truth. Christ performed them in public, sometimes before hundreds, sometimes before thousands. Nor were these witnesses all friends of Christ. Many of them would have liked nothing better than the opportunity of saying that Christ played tricks and wrought no true miracles. But even his enemies did not deny the power or the miracles of Christ. They knew he had raised Lazarus, 4 days dead, to life again. They did not try to deny the fact, but only plotted to kill Christ, lest the greatness of the miracle draw the whole world after him. His enemies said that Christ cast out devils by the prince of devils, but they did not deny that he cast the devils out. Nor can we suppose that the great numbers of witnesses to Christ's miracles were merely deluded, that they were credulous and gullible folk who only thought they saw wonders wrought. My dearly beloved in Christ, Christ himself appealed to his miracles as a testimony of the truth of his doctrines and divinity, saying, "If you're not willing to believe me, believe the works." Christ foretold future events. Among other things, he predicted his passion, death, and resurrection, the treason of Judas, and the perpetuity of his church. And regarding these miracles, the New Testament records at least 40 separate miracles, including healings, 10 miracles of mastery over nature. He raised 3 people from the dead. They are the result of our Lord's divine power and were witnessed by friends, enemies, and those who were indifferent. All acknowledge that Christ did extraordinary things. And some of these miracles were foretold in Isaiah chapter 35. The resurrection is a pivotal act of history. It provides us with clear evidence of Christ's divinity, that he is the Messiah that he claimed to be. If there had been no resurrection, I wouldn't be talking about this today. We wouldn't be talking about Christ. But the empty tomb was acknowledged by friend and foe. His friends and enemies knew that he had died on the cross. And then Pilate made sure that he was dead. He had a centurion pierce the heart of Christ with the lance. If he wasn't dead yet, then he was dead for sure then. And then once he was put in the tomb, then these brass doors were locked. A boulder was placed over the tomb, It was cemented in place, and then Jewish and Roman guards guarded the dead man, guarded Christ, and he still rose from the dead. More than 500 persons saw the risen Christ, but one of the greatest miracles of all is the growth of the early church. It would have been impossible if our Lord had not risen from the dead. 11 million martyrs in the first few hundred years of Christianity, being tortured in the most barbarous ways. If Christ had just died like anyone else, they wouldn't have sacrificed their life. But some had seen the risen Christ, and they had heard it, and they knew it was true. My dearly beloved in Christ, the appearance of Christ among men was as no other appearance had ever been. The world loves or hates him, but in all the long ages since his coming, wherever his name has been named and his claim made known, he has remained forever. Christ alone of all men that ever walked the earth is at the very center of human life. And why is this the case with Christ? The answer is that he alone in his life fulfilled the prophecies made by the prophets about the Messiah centuries before. He alone claimed explicitly and unmistakably to be the Messiah and the Son of God, equal to the Father. He alone proved by miracles, the miracles he worked, that he was indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. In closing, ultimately Christ triumphs despite the efforts of his enemies. Julian the Apostate was once a Catholic, and then he turned against the church bitterly. He marched against Persia in 363. The destruction of the church and Christianity was Julian's main goal. One of his soldiers asked a Christian whom he was torturing, "Where is your carpenter now? He's making a coffin for your emperor." The Christian calmly replied. Several months later, Julian was fatally wounded in battle by an arrow shot by a Christian. Raising the arrow, dripping with his blood, Julian cried, "Galilean, thou hast conquered and expired." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.